17 years after the debut of the landmark nature documentary Planet Earth, Blue Planet, the BBC has released an equally groundbreaking sequel chronicling ocean life around the world. The 7-episode series is available on BBC America and at bbcamerica.com, and it's full of spectacular moments. Some are epic in scale, like a giant shoal of anchovies off the coast of California that sparks a feeding frenzy for dolphins, sea lions, and hundreds of humpback whales.
Every upward lunge, they sieve out up to 100 kilos of fish.
Other scenes are intimate and strangely moving, like a profile of two tiny shrimp who are swept into a cage-like sea sponge as larvae and are trapped inside as they grow larger. The series also explores the human impact on the oceans, from plastic pollution to climate change. Joining us now from London is the series producer Mark Brownlow. Mark, welcome.
Thank you for having me on.
And the first Blue Planet came out in 2001. Why did you decide to make a follow-up?
That series was a seminal underwater series that captured the imagination of a generation of ocean lovers. And 17 years on, we have huge advancements in camera technology, diving technology. But more than that, it's an era of ocean exploration in the last decade. And so there's just incredible information, a new understanding of ocean life, of its complexity, its intricacy. And so it really was time to combine those three ingredients to make a brand new Blue Planet series.
And because of changes in technology over that time, was it easier or more difficult to do this one?
Define easy. What new technology did was open up new opportunities. For instance, off the Sea of Cortez, mobular rays at night come in to feed on shoals of plankton that, as they disturb them, light up in bioluminescence. Now, that was only possible to film 2 years ago because camera sensor low-light technology was good enough to actually capture the light of these flashes. We could never have done that 10 years ago, let alone 5 years ago. So it's huge advances in camera technology that open up new filming opportunities, whether it's mobular rays or bobbit worms, which are these bizarre, huge polychaete worms that hide in the sands of tropical Indonesia that come out at night and grab passing fish. That, again, that was only possible because we've managed to film it in infrared light. Hmm. So we were building new lens systems like a megadome that enabled us for the first time to see both above and beneath the surface of the water in focus, to provide these iconic shots of a mother walrus and her pup on an ice floe. And these miniature lenses called a straight scope that we could house and put on a very sensitive low-light back-end camera that enabled us to shrink the audience to the size of a clownfish and see the world from their perspective. So huge advancements in camera technology open up new filming opportunities.
Does your presence down there with these animals change their behavior at all when you shine a light on them or something like that?
So if the animal is impacted by your presence, you can't film natural behavior. And we're all about filming unique natural behaviors. And what's been amazing is with the advent of rebreathers, which are these underwater breathing apparatus that enables you to recycle your air so you don't exhale bubbles like with scuba. Mm. It does two things. It means you can dive in silence and you can dive for longer. So we can sit underwater, for instance, off the Great Barrier Reef in Australia for 4.5 hours and wait in silence for a tusfish, which is a remarkable reef fish that has found a way to get the soft meat inside clams by smashing it against the side of a particular piece of coral reef. What's ingenious about that is that it's a demonstration that a fish can use a tool. It means that they have intelligence. So it's with the rebreather, we can sit in silence and observe week after week and gain the trust of this tusfish that we could open up new filming opportunities. But, for instance, in the deep, yes, we did have to use lights because we were 1,000 meters underwater.
Right.
And sometimes fish would sort of stare a bit mesmerized. But typically, you know, again, we don't just want to film portraits. We want to film behavior. So if they weren't going to play ball with our lights, we'd have to rethink our strategy. So, for instance, we film Humboldt squid feeding at 800 meters off the coast of Chile, and they don't like white light. So we had to film with infrared light.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to film them not only feeding on lanternfish in these great squadrons of 2-meter-long Humboldt squid. When they ran out of lanternfish, they would turn on each other. We were able to film cannibalistic behavior.
At one point, when you were filming near Antarctica, thousands of feet down, the submersible started taking on water.
Yeah. So we are pioneering, breaking new territories. And we were the first people in history to dive in a manned submersible to the very depths of Antarctica. And no one was quite sure how the submersibles would cope with the extreme cold. And sure enough, one of the seals sprang a leak. And it's a testament to the professionalism of the of sub-pilots that they could coolly and calmly seal it up whilst under huge pressure and avert a disaster. So, you know, we plan our risk with meticulous detail, work with only the best professionals, but there are a few curveballs that come your way at times.
One of the pieces of this, and there are so many incredible moments in this series, but one that really amazed me was this octopus who escapes a hungry pajama shark by using its tentacles to clog the shark's gills so that the shark can't breathe, and then is able to camouflage itself by collecting all of these clam shells around and covering itself up so the shark can't tell that it's there. Let's listen to a little bit here from the narrator, David Attenborough.
She disguises herself with a protective armor of shells. She's hiding in plain sight.
Why is it such a surprise to us that animals are as smart as they are?
I think for many of us, the oceans are remote worlds, alien worlds. We even fear it, filled with slippery, cold creatures. And we try really hard to show a different side of marine creatures and really reveal their true complexity and intelligence. And this is a common octopus. So you find them everywhere around the world. And yet they demonstrate incredible feats of intelligence. And so I think it's just redefining people's preconceptions of what these creatures are truly capable of.
A lot of the issues that you addressed in the first Blue Planet also feature in Blue Planet 2, pollution, climate change. Did you notice as you were putting this together any changes in those problems in the years since you made the first one? Have they gotten noticeably worse?
So we never set out to make a campaigning series about the oceans. This is a series that celebrates the majesty of the oceans, the wonder, and the complexity of life within. But we could not avoid, during the course of the four-year production, witness catastrophic events like the two greatest bleaching events that the Great Barrier Reef has ever witnessed. We came across plastic pretty much wherever we went, ocean plastic. So it was important that we showed a contemporary depiction of today's ocean. So we included those stories. Whether it's got worse from the original Blue Planet series, yes, it has. Things are exacerbated. Pollution is more extreme than 20 years ago. Noise pollution. The oceans are in trouble and it needs our help.
Will there be a Blue Planet 3?
Well, what I can say is that only 10% of the ocean has been explored. And the more we look, the more extraordinary the stories there were. And I can say with confidence that there are those incredible new stories out there to be filmed. But I would like to give the audience a bit of a breather before we launch back into it once again.
And the crew probably too.
Exactly. And it will take us another 4 years, of course.
That's Mark Brownlow, producer of the new BBC documentary series, Blue Planet 2. Mark, great job on this, and thank you so much.
A real pleasure, and I hope you enjoy the series.